I'm being joined by my special guest, Suze Casey, for the premiere event of the Light Shine web show. My intention is that we'll be doing these web shows every Wednesday. I'm going to be inviting guests who can help you with your conscious business, holistic practice, with writing your book, getting your book published, becoming the best you that you can be and letting your light shine. So I am absolutely thrilled today to have my very special guest, Suze Casey, joining us. So let's just move right along. I have my little slide pack here.
And just so that you know, Christine, your audio went in and out on mine, and I don't know if it went in and out on others as well.
Okay. And that might be, it might depend on some people's internet connection. So, yeah.
All right.
Okay. So thank you very much for being here, everyone. In the next hour, you will learn how to take your business to the next level, to release what's been holding you back, and to move towards your goals and dreams. And I was just chatting with Suze before we started, and she actually did some muscle testing for the group. She did some belief repatterning for the group even before we got started. And Suze, do you want to comment on the word?
Absolutely. One of the things that before I begin anything, I like to, as Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. And as Trey Ashley Guerin, who is one of our practitioners, says, begin as you wish to continue. And so before I begin, I always go in with a word of intention for myself and for the group. And the group's word was rise. And so my intention for my presence here is to support everyone in rising. And so that's really cute. I smiled when I saw that one. Rising to the next level, rising into the best individual that you can be. This is really about making sure you show up as yourself. And you know, I love the light shine interview because it is really about letting your light shine and rising into that and letting it be shine brighter.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, and I would like to invite everyone to be in the room. So what I mean by that is give yourself permission to be present. Be open to learn and receive the aha moments that are waiting for you in this web show. Close the door. So if you're in an office or room in your home or office, if you can close the door and create a space for yourself, shut down your email, cell phone, get a pen and paper and get ready to take some notes, because I'm sure that there'll be some powerful strategies and insights that you get along the way. And I'd like to invite everyone to take a deep breath and let it go and get ready to have some fun.
Cool.
So just a quick introduction on who is Christine. So I am a professional engineer, and my husband Brendan and I are business partners. Our company is called Let Your Light Shine Online, and we support holistic practitioners, conscious entrepreneurs, authors, and speakers to take their platform to the next level. And we do that by creating internet marketing websites and powerful copywriting techniques, as well as info product creation. So if you've always wanted to write an ebook or create an audio or video training for your business, then we can help you do that. So that is a bit about me. And Suze Casey.
Before we move on to me, though, Christine, I would like to also just point out, yes, let's go back to you.
Okay.
You also attended the Movers and Shakers, the Hay House Movers and Shakers. You and Brendan attended the cruise in January.
Yeah, we just got back from the cruise, from the Hay House I Can Do It cruise 2 weeks ago. It was absolutely life-changing and empowering, and so many aha moments that I learned from Reed Tracy and Cheryl Richardson about the whole book writing process and book submission. And Brendan and I are actually working on our own book right now. And it's called, surprise, surprise, Let Your Light Shine Online. And it's going to be 12 internet tools. But yes, I have been doing spiritual work ever since I was 12 years old. So I think I was 12 when I first read Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life book.
I'd like to say I was 12, but I was a bit older.
And Suze Casey. So Suze is one of my role models. I met her a couple of years ago, and I always remember one of the first interactions I ever had with Suze is that she said, "Can I give you a hug?" And I said, "Yes, of course." And she kind of reached her arms in this opposite way that I was used to, and it was kind of a bit uncomfortable because I'm used to hugging, what is it? Let's see. Right arm up, left arm down. And she went the opposite way, left arm up, right arm down. And I said, "Whoa, whoa, what's going on here? This feels opposite." And she said, "This is the heart-to-heart hug." And it was just an amazing, like one of the best hugs I ever received. So now whenever I hug people, I always say, "Oh, do the belief repatterning hug. Do the belief repatterning hug."
I'd like to take ownership for that, but I actually learned that in another from someone else, and it is the heart-to-heart hug, but we certainly use it in belief repatterning.
Mm.
It's about connecting to your heart.
Yes, yes. So
I like that, here to hug heart.
here to heart. Yeah, heart don't mind heart. My typos Absolutely. As we go. I'll be doing this live here. So Suze is the developer of a technique called belief repatterning, and she has built a very substantial business here in Calgary, Alberta, and branching across North America. She has written several books. She puts on, her and her community put on workshops, tons of workshops, and the thing about Suze is that the thing that I think that really has set her apart is that she trains practitioners in this technique that she has developed. And she has just, her tribe here in Calgary has been so empowering, and I mean, all over Alberta, actually. I know that we have quite a few belief repatterning practitioners on the web show today, and all over Alberta. So it's, and actually some of them are even in Australia or have traveled to Australia. So Suze, you are branching out with your message. And so can you just tell us a bit about what belief repatterning is?
Yeah, and maybe just, you know, sort of where it came from, because my background is I have a master's in education. I was a teacher for 20 years and left my teaching career with the Calgary Board of Education in 1999 for no other reason other than I was so fascinated by what I was exploring with my students and with clients with the belief repatterning. At that time, I didn't have a name for it, but I just knew there had to be an easier way. I've been involved in personal development from forever, you know, did my first, you know, co-facilitating when I was a teenager, and you know, I understood the concepts, and I like to say I got it. I just wasn't getting it. Like, I understood it. I knew how I should be doing things, but it wasn't part of who I was yet. It was book learning, if you will. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in bone deep. And so I really wanted to make sure that I got it. And so I was very clear. I remember very clearly the day when I went, you know what? Number one, has to be easy. Number two, people have to be able to figure out how to do this for themselves with some guidance. And number three, it needs to be profound and help my mind move automatically to positive thought and positive inner conversations. And so, I mean, I knew the importance of positive self-talk. I also knew when I, you know, when I tried to happy talk myself out of something, it didn't work. Because I would say, oh, I'm, you know, somebody would say, how are you? And I'd say, oh, I'm happy and delightful. And the monkey in my head would go, no, you're not. You're miserable and broke. And so what I was affirming was the one that had more energy on it, which was the one that I held to be more truthful. And so I remember being at a conference and being encouraged to at all times be vigilant with my thoughts. And I thought, you know, that's a lovely concept. However, I have this great, beautiful subconscious mind that runs the show, that determines my behavior, that determines my actions. I might think I'm being conscious about it, but it really is about training the subconscious to be what you want, what you consciously want. And so I set out to explore activities and procedures and ways that I could train my mind to move to the positive side, to be where I wanted it to be at that subconscious level without me having to be vigilant with it, without me having to think about it. And so belief repatterning was born from that. It really is a hybrid of a whole lot of things. People will say to me, is this like, and before they finish, I say, yep. they kind of look at me, you know, you didn't know what I was going to say. And I said, well, it's like everything that we try to do to move ourselves forward. Where some of the unique aspects are is that it really is about learning. And once you've learned, you can't pretend you don't know. And so once you've been exposed to this way of having your mind work, and with practice, it'll just do it by itself. And, you know, is it brainwashing? Yes. Sure, but it's brainwashing on the right side of the line. You know, it's making sure that your brain is washed of all of that gunk that you've carried around that you don't know where it came from, and it doesn't matter. It's just, what do you want instead? What do you want to create?
Well, and if I can just jump in here, Suze, I want to let the group know that I've had quite a bit of experience working with a belief repatterning practitioner, and I've worked with Suze as well, which I'll get into in a moment, but I've done a lot of work with one of Suze's practitioners,
Let's just give a plug for Jordan right now.
Yeah.
He's an amazing practitioner.
Absolutely, Jordan O'Connor. And the thing that I love about belief repatterning is that you don't have to get into your victim story. It's not like I feel like I've spent my whole life in therapy, and this just felt so refreshing to me because I didn't have to go there. I didn't have to really get into the muck and guck and remember all the crappy experiences I had in childhood and relive them by retelling the story. Didn't have to go there at all because it uses a form of kinesiology and muscle testing. And I found this to be a very deep experience. Whenever I have a belief repatterning session, I find that it gets right to the root of whatever the core issue is, and it releases that issue, releases that core negative belief easily and quickly, and it's almost like magic. And it replaces it for me. I always walk out of the session feeling like a brand new person, feeling like, wow, this has been worth whatever the investment, which I think all of you don't charge enough, in my opinion, for the value that I've received from it. And actually what I wrote in the invitation there on the website, in the invitation for the web show, is that after almost any belief repatterning session, I attract a new client. Within the next day or two, I get a phone call.
There's a couple of things, Christine, I just want to pick up on. And you know, when you say that we get to the crux of the belief, what it is all of our beliefs and all of our learnings are hooked into our subconscious through emotion. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we identify the emotion that is the stuck one. And we don't worry about how long you've had it or who gave it to you or how many times you experience it a day. It's just if the emotional hook is frustration, what's the opposite of that for you? Is it, you know, calm, peace, harmony, relaxation, love. And you know, yes, we do. When we're working one-on-one with people, we use muscle testing. But when we're working like we will be later today, later this hour with one of the mm-hmm. participants, you know, we just feel into it and find out what the opposite emotion is. And through conversation, we can do it. Mm-hmm. The other thing that you said is that you felt like a new you. And, you know, I would hope that everybody listening kind of likes parts of the current them. He doesn't want a whole new model, just, you know, a few tweaks and upgrades here and there. And one of the things that was said to me by my dear friend Dale when I began doing this work, and she said, she lives far away, so I don't see her, you know, as often as I would like to, kind of once a year or maybe a bit longer sometimes in between visits. And what she said to me, and I've held this really closely, is the parts of you that I wasn't very keen on don't show up as often, and the parts of you that I've always loved are much more present. Mm-hmm. So more of who she loved was able to show up, and I just went, oh, wow, okay, there's my tagline for what this work does, is it just helps you let go of those parts of you that aren't you. Mm-hmm. You know, then you may recognize them, you may have dragged them around for a long time, you may even have defined yourself that way, but they don't feel good, and that's how you know it's not you, because if it's truly you, it feels good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to make the connection here to this work and becoming a successful expert or business owner. I'm going to just bring up this slide here that I had this aha moment just yesterday about the three pillars to being a successful expert. So at the top, we have your message, your meaningful message. And if you're participating in this web show or listening to the recording after, I believe in my heart that you have a meaningful message to share to the world. And that's why you're here participating with us. Now, the next pillar is having a purposeful platform. And we're going to get into platform more at the end of the call, but by platform, this could be writing, this could be your book, this could be your website, this could be your email list. There's lots of things that make up your platform, and this is something that Brendan and I specialize in, is helping you to create your platform. And the third piece is supportive beliefs. And this is why I invited Suze to speak to this audience, because I know in this audience we have a lot of conscious entrepreneurs. We have people that were also on the cruise and attended the movers and shakers, and a lot of business owners. And I strongly believe that it's our beliefs that can either hold us back and keep us in our living our status quo and kind of barely getting by, and just kind of that last month was the same as this month, or last year was the same as this year. And I think by really working on our belief system and creating new positive beliefs, that this is what can launch us to a whole new level. And
absolutely. And you know, I mean, that's why I developed the work in this area. I'm going to invite everyone to just jot this down for themselves. I forgive myself for believing that the way things have been is the way they have to stay. I forgive myself for believing that the way things have been is the way they have to stay. We make decisions oftentimes based on how things are at the moment. Now, if I made a decision based on how things are at the moment, I'm looking outside my window here in Calgary, and it is minus, I don't know, 20 bisquillion out. It's like really bitter cold out. And if I just went, you know what, it's always going to be cold because it's cold today and it was cold yesterday, I would not be like buying seeds for my garden, making plans for what I want to do out on the deck when the sun is shining and the warm weather comes. I would only be making plans for it to be cold and miserable. Well, you know, when tomorrow arrives, which in Calgary we get very drastic weather changes, tomorrow is going to be like +2 or something, you know? Yeah. And so it's like, yay. And so I make plans based on what I wish to have occur in the future, rather than making my plans based on what has happened in the past. Yeah. So I forgive myself for believing that the way things have been are the way things have to stay is a hugely powerful beginning to the repatterning process. Mm-hmm. It's like you're just opening up the door for something else to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Suze, I'm just going to jump in here because I want to let the audience know that we will be talking about Suze's book proposal. Absolutely. That's going to be a key piece to this call, her book proposal and video submission to Hay House. So hang in there. We're definitely getting there. But I think it's also really valuable for everyone. Just be open to learning something new, because this whole belief repatterning process was a large key to Suze's success, as well as I can definitely speak for myself. So we are getting there. And actually, I'm just going to launch a poll here. So I really want to keep this very interactive. And so with this thought in mind, I forgive myself for believing, I'm going to launch a poll here that you'll all see it pop up on your screens. So my biggest business challenge is, and you can pick more than one answer. So my biggest business challenge is not enough clients. So you can just vote there. Not enough clients, don't know how to grow my tribe. Personal fears and limiting beliefs, too many clients and not enough time, not sure how to communicate my message. So I'll give you another couple seconds. Your vote will remain anonymous, so no worries there.
Christy, maybe I can just make a quick comment on one of these while people are voting.
Yes.
Personal fears and limiting beliefs. You know, I think one of the things that I find really interesting is that people sort of approach me and go, oh, because I developed belief repatterning, I must have it all together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reality is I do. I just sometimes forget where I put it. But, no, it's every time you step into a new place, you are going to come into some personal fears and limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. Every time you step out, you mentioned before the status quo, every time you take one step into some place that's different, you know, you're going to have some alerts at some level come on. And this is why, you know, when you said it was a large key, the belief repatterning was a large key to my success, it's like it.
Yeah.
You know, my willingness to step into that place, my willingness to go over that, you know, the edge of what I can see and step into the new, and belief repatterning just supports you in doing that. But,
absolutely.
You know, anyone who says, oh, I have no fears and I have no limiting beliefs, it's like, really? Then you're not stretching yourself.
Yeah. So, Suze, I'm just going to ask you if you can speak closer to your microphone.
Absolutely.
We've just had a couple people.
Does that work better?
That sounds better to me. Thank you.
Okay, so
let's share these poll results. So 51% not enough clients, 31% don't know how to grow my tribe, 51% personal fears and limiting beliefs, 9% too many clients and not enough time. Well, hey, that's a good problem to have. And not sure how to communicate my message at 38%. So great. Thanks so much, everyone.
And, that, okay. And the too many clients and not enough time feeds right into growing your tribe to its full potential. Because if you're growing your tribe, then you have others who are able to communicate your message as well.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really key in your platform. You know, when you're talking about platform before, one of the things that I find people get confused about is what is platform, and they think it's just the stuff. And what I view platform as is platform is when I'm not there, what is?
When I'm not there, what is?
You know, what's present for people when I'm not physically present? And so it involves all of that other stuff, but it's that how, you know, What is there representing the message that I have when I'm not there? Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, too many clients and not enough time is about growing your tribe and having your platform really solid so that there is something there to meet the needs of the clients as they arrive.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And something that I'm really passionate about is using technology to do just that. Mm-hmm. So Brendan and I have a ton of video training and articles on our website, and people are learning from us while we're sleeping.
And you know, one of the things that I learned at the Movers and Shakers in Toronto workshop when I went in September was the real importance of having, you know, Facebook presence. And I have, as many people of my generation, kind of gone, please, you know, I'm not interested in what you had for lunch, therefore I don't need to be on Facebook. And for me also, with my background in teaching, it just felt a little bit junior high, you know, friend me, you know, unfriend me. It just felt a little grade eight to me. However, I was encouraged by Cheryl and Reed's, you know, absolute commitment to it. And I still fought it. I mean, I was there in September, and it wasn't until the end of October that I actually did, you know, launch a Facebook. Now, I had a Facebook presence because I have my marketing gal thought it was important, and so we had a Facebook presence for belief repatterning. But I launched my personal one, and I also launched Sue's Casey Author. And I made a decision that I was only going to spend 10 minutes a day, 5 days a week, on building that platform. And if it took any more than that amount of time, I was disinterested in it. And if I didn't have 500 or more people by the end of December, you know, in 2 months, that was it. I was going to say, I was right. Well, you know, the first week I had somebody book an appointment with me at 1 o'clock in the morning on my Facebook messaging, you know, and I went, oh, I'm really glad I didn't. So that's what I'm saying, that your platform is what's there when you aren't. And I have had a lot of feedback on it, a lot of really cool stuff. On the Sue's Casey Author page, I post a word of the day, which is just something to think about and set your intention on that. If you're going to be thinking about something, you might as well think about something positive. And so just like we had the word rise, it's like, you know, subconsciously you're going to be running a program. Just put the word rise on top of it for the day and see what happens. So, you know, the technology, you know, for someone, you know, who was a self-professed, though I'm not going there, I'm not saying Facebook is the be-all and end-all, but it has certainly created some really fabulous things in my business, including income stream that is way greater than the, you know, 5 to 10 minutes I invest in it every day. And I'm really diligent about that 5 to 10 minutes. I mean, it can be pretty sexy and get you dragged off in all kinds of places. But Monday to Friday, it's you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And then maybe on the weekend, I might go and pass around and play and see what my kids are doing and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think that that's, you know, having a really solid platform, using, you know, we can't bury our heads in the sand. It's here. It's here to stay.
So let's just quickly go through what other elements you have in your platform. So we've got Facebook.
Absolutely. I have my business model, which includes training others to do the work, so either for themselves individually or becoming a practitioner or becoming a facilitator as well. And so it's not just about me and the message, and I think that's a really important aspect, is that I have a platform for me as an entity, Sue's Casey, author. I also have a platform for belief repatterning, which is the technique I developed. The platform of SuesCasey.author, we cannot, you know, you can't expand that one beyond the physical me. I mean, the books and that kind of stuff, absolutely. But it's not something that someone else can go, wow, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a raving fan member. I want to be part of the tribe. I want to be part of the tribe that creates. I want to be, you know, in the tribal council, you know, all of that kind of excitement, which was absolutely created by the fact that I said, I will train people to do this. I did have a lot of advice when I was starting out. People saying, don't teach people how to do it, you know. And I recognize, because of the kind of profound results that you were talking, that you experienced, Christine, and that other clients experience, I know that I could limit my practice to, you know, people with gobs of money and see one or two of them a week and live on a, you know, tropical island somewhere. That's not what I'm about. What I'm about, I'm a teacher. And so what I'm about is helping as many people as possible recognize that they can live their life in this way with ease and calm and peacefulness in their minds. And I love nothing better. I had a call this morning from one of the practitioners, and she phoned and she said, you know, this and this happened, and it was just so easy. And I just love how things come so easily. And I'm like, that's how it's supposed to be. And what if all the rest of it was a mirage? What if all the rest of it was not true? What if it's got to be hard and you have to suffer was the not true part? Mm-hmm. And so I've really built my platform based on my belief systems. And for me, I have held really near and dear that there was a way that I could do business that fit, as you're calling it, I love the term conscious entrepreneur, that fit that was within the tenets of what I was teaching. And I think that what I witness with a lot of people is they have these great messages, but their platform is counterintuitive to that message. Mm-hmm. And so I think that whatever your platform is, it needs to be built within, you know, which is why Facebook didn't work for me for a long time until Bless Reed and Cheryl, they were able to help me see it. And I went, oh, I get now why I would want to use that. It's not about saying what I had for lunch. It's about another way of getting the message out. I could post my word of the day because I do it for myself anyway. I could just post that on Facebook. And I've had so many clients, you know, message me and tell me it was really helpful. So that platform is you when you're not there. And, of course, then you've got to know who you are in order to create that. But, but that's another webinar.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole – yeah, that's – so just quickly then, you also have a significant email list database that you've been growing over several years.
I do, and you know, I think it's really important. Every person that's on my list has been asked to be on that list. I don't again, this would be an example of my platform within my belief systems. Yes, I could go buy a list. That doesn't feel good to me. I don't like being solicited by people I don't know, so I don't do it to them.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when there's business cards, I don't go grab them and add them to my database. Every person that's on my database is there because they either asked to be or they were in, you know, some kind of something that I presented. And what I always say to people is, you know, put your business card in, we're doing a draw, and yes, you will be put onto our newsletter list. Mm-hmm. Please know that I don't put that list anywhere else. And there's a lovely button at the bottom that you can unsubscribe if it's not helpful to you, because I'm really about it being helpful. Now, here's just an aside. You know, when I got the contract from Hay House, and I'm going through the 17-page contract, which, you know, I know a lot of the people who are at the Movers and Shakers are going, oh, to have that problem. But it was, you know, it was a little bit daunting, and I went to an intellectual property lawyer. And one of the clauses said that I would provide my mailing list to Hay House, which makes total and infinite sense, because then they can, you know, they can publicize to my downline, or to my list, right?
Yeah.
I don't know where the downline thing came from. Flashback to network marketing. but anyway, and I, you know, I knew from other parts of my life that we have in Canada freedom of information policies and laws that say that it's illegal for you to do that. And so I mentioned that to Hay House, and I said, you know, I would really love my people to be able to get the information about the book. However, is that all that would be used for? And they said, no, it would go on to everything. And I said, well, Canadian law. And she went, oh, my goodness, you're Canadian, right? We shouldn't even have put that clause in. Because in the States, they don't have that law. But in Canada, we do. And so it's about making sure that you're, you know what I mean? It took a lot of, I had to really step up to the plate to say to, you know, the people at Hay House, I can't give you my email list.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because honestly, I know that the RCMP are not going to come and bang my door down and arrest me for doing it. And I know that likely 99% of my list would be happy to receive things from Hay House.
Yeah.
But it's about being in that integrity with who you are on every aspect of your platform.
Absolutely. Cool. And I am going to launch another poll now talking about your platform. So what's the next step to improving your platform? And this is just personal. This is just for you to think about. Is it building a new website? Is it doing live events and workshops? Is it getting on social media, training my own practitioners, or developing my own technique? So we'll give you another couple seconds to vote on that. Got to make sure everyone's still staying awake.
and I would also suggest, and I'm glad that you didn't put this one on the poll, Christine, because I think it is the most important, and everyone would need to check it if it was. It's about getting to know who you are, what your values are, and what your message is so clearly that, I mean, that's the next step for everything, always. And I'm in continuous pursuit of that. Pursuit's the wrong word. I'm in continuous exploration of that. Absolutely. Is who am I? What's my message? What value am I bringing? How am I walking my talk here? And, mm-hmm. you know, certainly during the Movers and Shakers weekend, there was a lot of that, a lot of that happening. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of what are my values and where do I show up? And I know a number of the people that were there were kind of going, oh, I didn't think I was coming to a values workshop. I thought I was coming to find out how to get published and how to be a speaker. And it's like, this is how you do it.
You know? That's the foundation. Absolutely. Yeah. So we have 33% build a new website, 47% doing live events and workshops, 39% getting on social media, 17% training my own practitioners, and 61%, the highest, say developing my own technique.
I think that's wow. really, really telling, Christine, because really, you know, your message needs to be unique. And it can only be unique if you know who you are. Now, what I'm talking about, you know, positive self-talk, is not a unique concept. But what is mm-hmm. unique is that it can be easy. It can happen with, you know, in a learning way. It is something that you can work with for yourself that you don't have to, you know. There's all kinds of things that are unique to my message. Mm-hmm. And so that developing your own technique, you don't have to come up with something that is, like, completely different. So people will say to me, you know, is belief repatterning like? And I always go, uh-huh, it is. Right? We talked about that earlier. Because I took bits and pieces from things that fit me and then came up with my own unique, like you did earlier in the webinar, and you came up with the three pillars for an expert, you know, the mm-hmm. platform, the message, and the belief system. That's yeah. not new thinking, but it hasn't been put together quite that way before. So that's part of the uniqueness of Christine.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Cool. So let's get into, where's the slide here? When Reed called you. Yes. So I haven't said it yet, but congratulations, Suze, on winning the Hay House book contract and radio show. So tell us what happened that day.
Well, it was really interesting. And I really look at it as being awarded it as opposed to winning, because winning feels like a contest. Uh-huh. And it really wasn't a contest, and it isn't a contest. And I would encourage everybody that's looking to submit in the future offerings that it's not a contest. It's an offering. And, you know, uh-huh. I was awarded. And that's a whole different energy than a contest that you win. I mean, contest that you win uh-huh. feels like your name got drawn out of a hat, you know. Uh-huh. And so, you know, thank you. A couple of things just to back up. I had a really deep knowing when I was in the room that I was in exactly the right place at exactly the right time, finding out exactly what I needed to do to move my business forward in exactly the specific way.
When you were at the Movers and Shakers.
When I was at the Movers and Shakers. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I was sitting there going, I'm better than anybody else. I was just sitting there listening to the information and going, check, yep, got that, yep, done that, yeah, oh, okay, cool, that was a good decision. You know, all that, I just checking in. And so I would say, if that wasn't your experience when you were there, or if you're in, you know, some kind of similar thing and it's not your experience, that's okay. Just take the pieces that are clicking for you and really be with the awareness that you've of what you've created, and then look for the next step. And so for me, the next step was I need to be brave enough to step out and to step into the big. And yeah. And so that was the piece for me. And you know, there's a video that I did sort of 2 days after that really captures where I was, and I would encourage you to go and take a look. It's on YouTube, and if you YouTube and Google YouTube Suze Casey and Hay House, you'll get it. But it's a four-minute video that I just did sitting in my office going, this is what's happened, because I had so many people calling me. But what happened the day that Reed phoned is I wasn't expecting the phone call until the next day. You see, when I first saw that they were doing the event and that they were offering the opportunity to submit a book, I went, ah, that's me. They're looking for their next big thing, and I think I might be it. And then I looked, and the winner was going to be announced on December the 9th. That's my birthday. So I decided it was going to be my 53rd birthday present to myself, not from Hay House, but to myself, that I had done this. And so that regardless of whether I was awarded the contract or not, it was my present to myself to say, I'm willing to step up big, and this book is being published by Hay House or somebody else. It's a done deal. I made the committed decision. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when the phone rang, I mean, I wasn't expecting it on the 8th of December, which is when he phoned. And so I wasn't expecting the phone call. I was all prepped for it to happen on the 9th, but it happened on the 8th. And as those of you who know Reed, and he's got this lovely, slow Southern way of speech. And he said, well, we figured that we should tell you before we told everybody else. Good point, Reed. So when he called, it was fun because my assistant came in, and my assistant's name happens to be Flo, which is, you know, a good name for somebody in the business that I'm in, to have as their assistant. But Flo came running into the room, and she said, it's Reed, Tracy on the call, and he doesn't phone to tell people that they didn't do anything. So I did have a moment. It was great to chat with them. And, you know, Reed started out really understated and, you know, asked me how I was doing. And I was just honest. I said, I'm doing very well. And I suspect I'm going to be doing even better when I hang up from this phone call.
And you were right.
and he chuckled. And then he told me about the radio program and, you know, did all the details on that. And we talked about that for about 10 minutes. And then I looked at the clock and I thought, this is a busy man and I should let him, you know, get on with his day. And then he said, oh, and I would be remiss if I didn't let you know that we've also decided to publish your book. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Wow.
Wasn't expecting a double whammy on it. I had kind of a knowing in my bones that something was going to happen, and I really felt confident about that, but I didn't have a preconceived notion of what it had to look like. Mm-hmm. And so that was great. We started talking about that, and then Reed said, we've decided to change the name of the title of your book.
Yes.
And I stopped, and I took a big, deep breath. Because for those of you who write, you know that it's pretty personal. And for me, I had submitted it under the title Inner Critic to Inner Coach, A Conversational Journey. And I think that probably will become the subtitle now, because Reed said, we've decided to publish it, but we're publishing the book under the title of Belief Repatterning. And at that point, I burst into tears. And I burst into tears because for 10 years, plus, I had been told by marketing guru after advertising person after coach that I needed to lose the term belief repatterning, that it was confusing to people, that it didn't, you know, they didn't have, it didn't fit what they already knew. And I said, well, of course it doesn't, because it's new thought. That's the whole point. And it does actually say exactly what it is. That's the part what I want, the point I want to make is that piece about standing up for your platform and your message and having it be true to you. It would have been really easy for me to let go of that term, as I've been encouraged. And I'm not talking one or two people. I'm talking a lot of people with a lot of credentials. So when Reed said that they wanted to call it belief repatterning, my tears were just this huge release of, I knew it. And, you know, when I was in Toronto, I remember one of the things that they said in the workshop is that movers and shakers are people that everybody else thinks are crazy. I don't know if they said that at the one that you were at, but it was, you know, movers and shakers are people that everybody else thinks that they're crazy, and that you're willing to step out and walk into your vision. And that's what makes you a mover and shaker. And so I was just like, wow, that's really cool. And then he went on to say, you know, you have built an incredible platform. Now, Reed Tracy is the CEO of Hay House. He knew that I had practitioners trained. He had been on my website and listened to the radio programs that I had already there. He said that he wanted to change the format from that radio show to this format, you know, like a different format. I said I was good with that. I still don't know when that is happening, but if people want to sign up onto my newsletter, I would certainly keep you posted and let you know. And if you're on this web call live, I'll put you on our newsletter, because you were here and you showed up for something. If you want to unsubscribe, as I said before, you can quite easily, but I hope that you'll find value in it. And so, you know, it was about that kind of like, wow, he had gone in and looked, and that's what people are looking for that are going to invest in you, because that's what this is about, is who's going to invest what in you and your message. And so if you haven't invested in yourself, how can they? So it was pretty exciting. And then I got off the phone, and I think you've got a slide from that video. I got off the phone, and Flo said to me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm building the book. And so you'll see there, that's my finger pointing. I pulled all of the Hay House books I had on my bookshelves in various places. I pulled them, not all, but I pulled a chunk of them out. I put them on my bookshelf, and then I went, and the one that says belief repatterning there is actually a paper box. And I just cut out. You know, when you get printing debt at the printers, right, and they give you the little 8.5 by 11 box with your... And I just cut a piece off of one of my postcards and grabbed the Hay House logo off the internet, you know, and just built myself a model of my book and put it on the shelf to hold the space so that I could make real what just happened. Because, you see, I had held this belief since I was, 11 or 12 years old that I was going to be a published author. And Reed had phoned and said I was going to be a published author, and I needed to make it real for me.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. I just built myself a little model of it and put it, and to this day, it's there. Christine, you saw it when you were in a month ago.
I did.
and it's there, and I tell you, I look at that every day, and I go, there's my book.
I love that. I think everyone on this call should go out and do that. is really setting a strong intention.
Yeah, and I didn't do it before I had the contract, because at that point in time, I wasn't sure if it was the book or the radio show. I just knew it was something. Mm-hmm. But then once I knew it was that, it was like, okay, so here's the placeholder for it. And yes. I'm really excited about being able to put the real book on that place. It's not going to be as fat as the model is, but I just wanted it to be really big and stand out. I really like, I'm just right there beside Alan Cohen, which I really like, and next to Esther and Jerry Hicks, which is, also a pretty good place to be.
I love it, Suze. You're beside you're right up there. You're on the bookshelf next to everyone that we've been reading and looking up to.
Yeah,
you're there alongside them now.
Me included. And so it really was about, because that's the belief I'm building now, is that my book belongs on that shelf.
Yeah.
And so every stage, there's a new belief that needs to be built. And, I was mentioning to you early, Christine, just going, and I've had a promo shot of myself ever since I was about 14, because I used to do little theater, and so I've always had a promo shot of myself my whole life, and I had to go get a new promo. I didn't have to. I decided to go get a new promo shot for the book, and I tell you, sitting behind the camera, knowing that I was getting the promo shot done for the back cover of a Hay House published book, I had to work through a whole bunch of limiting beliefs and fears that came up. Even though for 40 years of my life, I've had a promo shot. So the experience of the promo shot wasn't new, but the experience of the promo shot for that purpose was new, and it brought up stuff. And so I was just really thrilled that I had a way of working through it, because the new promo shot is the one that you've got on. It's the first time it's been used.
Oh, cool.
For this webinar. So I hope people like it. That's one of the three that I'm submitting to Hay House for their choice on the book cover. So.
Excellent. I love all your new your new photos are beautiful, Suze. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
So, yeah, and that's, I love what you're saying, that every step of the way, we are rising up to the next level. And whether you listening on the call, whether your big dream or goal is to get published by Hay House or another publishing house or self-published, or you want to get your message out there, it's every time we step up, there can be some self-talk that says, well, who are you?
Mm-hmm. And, to quote Marianne Williamson, who are you not?
Who are you not?
And I think that's also with the video. A lot of people have said to me, what do I think that made it with the video? Is I just showed up as me. I'm just Auntie Suze in that video. Yes, I'm, I did it live. For those of you who are submitting a video, I would say do it live. What I did was I sat down and made a list.
What do you mean by that?
Do it live.
Do it live.
In front of people.
Do it have real. An audience. Have a live audience there.
Yeah, it's really hard to just talk for 5 minutes to nothing without sounding like a talking head, because that's exactly what you're being. And so, feeding off the energy of, I made a list of what I thought Hay House really wanted to know. It really isn't the assignment. And as a teacher, I knew that when I assign things, the assignment is not always as it appears. And so I thought, what do they really want to know? Well, they want to know I can write. They want to know that I have a unique idea. They want to know that I can present myself. They want to know that I can speak on my feet off the cuff. They want to know I can engage an audience. They want to, what are all the things that they want to know? And how do I make that happen? And so the video was a one-off, we did it one take. Yes, I had to work through some stuff as I stepped up to the stage to do that in front of the group that I was doing. And I said, I need a minute here. And I had to pull myself together, do a little repatterning of my thoughts to get myself in that place. And then I walked in and I nailed it. And I looked at it and went, that's it. That's the one. And, some of the other submissions that I looked at, they were all spliced together. And I thought, the message that gives is that you don't have a clear thought that you can put together. Hay House wants somebody that they can market. So if you're not at that place yet, that's cool. Just get to that place. And the way that you get to that place is by putting yourself in front of people and speaking.
Yeah. Well, what I loved about your video is, like, definitely I think the live audience is key. I always find when I'm doing talks or presentations, it makes a huge difference if I have people sitting in front of me versus if I'm just talking into my webcam. Huge difference there. So for everyone on the call, for your video submission, please take this into consideration, is to pull your tribe together. Whoever that is, pull them together for you to, when you tape your video submission. The other thing I loved about yours, Suze, is you had a song in there. You had a song.
I love Lila.
Yeah. I love Lila. See, I even remember it. So
exactly.
I remember after I watched your video, I was humming that to myself the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was catchy. So if you aren't comfortable singing, if that's not your thing, what can you do that's catchy that after they watch it, it kind of sticks with them?
Something that sets you out that's unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, had you rehearsed that story 100 times?
No. No, if you rehearse it, it's going to sound canned. Had I told the story 100 times? Maybe not 100. I told it a number of times. I had always told it privately, you know, with friends, because I just thought it was hysterically sweet. And then I realized when I was in Toronto, when they gave us the assignment on Saturday night of coming up with a story. And for me, the challenge wasn't coming up with a story. The challenge for me was what story, because I'm a storyteller. And so this was like I was just in my element. And, you know, they said something that touches people, if you could move them to laughter or tears. And I went, you know what? The Lila story does both. And so I went there. I'm just a little out of huff because I just recognized that my laptop was running out of power, so I had to run downstairs and get my cord and plug myself in. So that's a
good idea
right now. Yeah, just a little out of huff right now. So, you know, I would suggest that you make sure that you're prepared and are plugged in before the webinar starts. but that right there is a piece of what I think is really true, is that willingness to be vulnerable, that willingness to, when you watch the video, and if you haven't seen it on YouTube, if you just go Songs We Sing to Ourselves and type in Suze Casey, Songs We Sing to Ourselves, it'll come up. It's also on my Facebook page, linked there. And it's also on the SuzeCasey.com website, which we just launched a month ago. It's on that website. So it's not on the Believer Patterning website, because there's an example of it's a different platform for me than it is for Believer Patterning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, what about your book proposal? So what do you think did it?
I think part of the thing with the proposal, again, was I sat down, I looked at their guidelines, and then I sat down and said, what do they really want to know? What do they really need to know? And I really made a point of letting them know what skills and attributes I was bringing to the partnership. And I spoke at it. I mean, I have a section called What I Bring to the Partnership with Hay House. They didn't ask for that, but I thought they really want to know that. Wanted them to know that I was looking for a partnership and that I knew that I had things I was bringing. And here they are. Mm-hmm. and that's, you know, I mean, there was no bragging about it. It was just I let them know that I am a professional public speaker, and I have been doing that for some time, and that I have created this, and I've done that, and I've listed out the things that I thought really made a difference in terms of helping me be unique. If you don't have any of those things, that's okay. Just go create them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I followed their guidelines. You know, they have guidelines for a reason.
Yeah.
So I followed them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a reader's panel take a look at it. I had it well formatted. It went in looking very professional. I sent it in ahead of time, which I think is hugely important. The reason I think that's important is because as a teacher, I used to really value when kids would hand in their projects ahead of time. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to hand it in ahead of time because they're not going to be able to resist taking a look as stuff starts to come in, and then it sets me up ahead of everyone else. So I know that the deadline for this is the 28th of June. Yeah. I have it in by the 21st.
Yeah.
If I were you.
For sure.
Not personally. because I think that makes a difference. It gives a really clear message.
Well, and the other thing that I took away from what Reed Tracy was saying is that the marketing part of the book proposal, and he said it's the marketing part that's going to make or break your proposal.
Exactly. Lots of people have great ideas, but what have you already done to put that idea forward? What have you already done, you know, for that? Like, where is that already there? So, you know, I think that's the, I think that that's, and I guess the other piece that I would say is that don't look at this as that you've got to get it. Look at this as an opportunity to invite you to step into a bigger playing field, and then step into that bigger playing field. And if you don't feel like you can, then get some support. You know, we had talked earlier about me doing a little belief repatterning online, and as always happens, the time runs out, and maybe you'll invite me back again, Christine, to do some repatterning with people, because I'm really happy to do that. But you can really move your mind through it. So I'm going to just do a really quick, you know, repeat this after me. Don't try to type it in, Christine, I'm going to go too fast. But people can say that in this with me. I forgive myself for believing the way things have been is the way they have to stay.
I forgive myself for believing the way things have been is the way things have to stay.
Okay, breathe it in. I forgive myself for believing that I'm too timid to take my work forward or that no one will listen.
I forgive myself for believing I'm too timid to take my work forward or that no one will listen.
Breathe it in. I give myself permission to step into who I really am and show up.
I give myself permission to step into who I really am and show up.
I can stay where I am or I can step up. I can't do both at the same time.
I can stay where I am or I can step up. I can't do both at the same time.
And so I'm consciously choosing to step up.
And so I'm consciously choosing to step up.
Okay, breathe that one in. Now, if I was working with you in a real session, as you know, Christine, what I would be doing is asking what your monkey's saying back to you, and we'd be working with that feedback. But I'm just trying to give people a real quick indication of this work that's going to help them as well. So I hope you've been, you know, this is called belief repatterning karaoke. Sing along with us. Okay? So I can choose. Let's go here. I choose to do one thing today that moves me closer to my goal.
I choose to do one thing today that moves me closer to my goal.
Let me breathe that one in. I'm free to step into a bigger place by doing one thing a day.
I am free to step into a bigger place by doing one thing a day.
I know when I do one thing, it works.
I know when I do one thing, it works.
And, you know, here I would ask for a specific example. So, you know, I'm going to use the example, Christine, because I know this one to be true. I know that when I made the phone call and asked Suze to be on this call, it made the webinar happen.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Okay, so I know that
when I phoned Suze and invited her for this web show, that was one thing that put me miles ahead.
Okay. I am stepping up and doing one thing every day towards my goals.
I am stepping up and doing one thing every day towards my goals.
And breathe that in. So, I mean, that was just a really quick repatterning, boop, 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 boop. But
it
moves the mind from thinking about being afraid to into, oh, I'm just doing one thing and I am doing it and here it is. And then that energy propels you forward.
Yeah.
So,
Thank you so much, Suze. That was wonderful, and I hope that everyone played along with us. And just to, before we wrap up, Suze, I want to thank you so much for being here. This was absolutely enlightening for me today, and I'm sure for the rest of the callers or the rest of the participants. And just to recap, what would you say is one thing that you would like everyone to leave with regards to either their book proposal, their video submission, and rising up to the next level?
Well, it would be exactly what it would be exactly what came to me when we did the values exercise. It's the people can show up as who they really are with their processes and their gifts and honor that and live from that place. So show up as who you are with all of your gifts and your potential and live from that space. So many people live from their past and their failures that it just makes me sad. So I would encourage people to do that. I wanted to just jump in here and let people know that if you are wanting more information, we will be adding you to our newsletter list if you're listening to this live. If you are not listening to this live, you can certainly find us at beliefrepatterning.com, BeliefRepatterning.com. It is what it says it is. It's about repatterning those beliefs that don't fit, that don't work, and creating a belief system around you that supports you in whatever endeavor that you're doing, whether that be a book submission or a video proposal. Is this a good time to mention the special offer that I'm doing as well?
Well, yes, and before you do, I just want to say, I want to let everyone know that Brendan and I actually hired Suze about a month ago before we went on the cruise. As soon as we made the commitment, the two of us, that we were going to write this book, we called Suze up. And we were actually interviewing other high-level coaches in the city, very, very expensive coaches that we could hoped would take us to the next level. And we had a couple of consultations with some of these high-level coaches. And then I said, well, what about Suze Casey? Let's give her a call. And we actually spent like 3 hours with Suze that day, both Brendan and I. And she did a dual belief repatterning with both of us, and it was life-changing for us. We specifically focused on writing our book, on attending the movers and shakers and the cruise and being in the best space possible, and any monkeys, any limiting beliefs or stories that weren't supporting us, we just released all of those with Suze's help. And it was enlightening to hear her story and her process of moving through this, because she's been there and she succeeded. She was awarded the book contract and radio show, so who better to learn from and to get support from is someone who's been there and actually succeeded. So
I just realized I could say been there, done that, and got the book contract.
I love it. So I asked Suze to put together something special for this group, because I'm totally about supporting everyone as a community. Like Suze says, I don't see this as a competition at all. This is just an invitation for all of us to step up to play a bigger game. So Suze has put together a very special opportunity for everyone who's either participating live or listening to the recording. So Suze, go ahead.
Well, again, if you're not submitting for the Hay House thing, that's fine. I can still work with you. But what I wanted to do is I'm going to make this offer available until the 20th of June, which is 1 week prior, because I think that if you are submitting, you need to have it submitted by then or very close to then. What I did for myself before I went to Hay House, the workshop, was that I made sure that I did things that supported me. So I went to my girlfriend Dale's place and spent a couple of days just in a really supportive environment before I went. And then, you know, as I was doing that, I had the supportive environment around me. I worked with Scott, who was one of the people that had been at the Movers and Shakers with me. I worked with him as a coach. I phoned him up and said, will you coach me through this? You were there. Mm-hmm. I had a number of the practitioners, the belief repatterning practitioners that I worked with. And so, you know, having your team around you as you're trying to move into a place, not trying, as you're moving into a place that's bigger, is really important. And so my regular hourly rate, as Christine says, is very, very affordable. It's $150 for one session. And I keep it there on purpose at this point in time, because I'm really about getting this message out. That's my number one priority. And so I know that that's a price point that people can reach. Because of your commitment to this call, the people that are on this call, you will be receiving the opportunity to work with me for 30 minutes on the phone. I do not do 30-minute consultations generally. But for this group, I will, and I'm offering that at $75, which is the half rate, but you get the half time. If you do want to do a full 1 hour with me, a 60 minute by phone or Skype, the rate on that would be $125. So a bit of a discount for people that are committed and totally happy to help you achieve whatever goal or dream it is that you're looking for, whether that be a new book, creating a video, a radio show, or any other goal or aspiration that you have in your business or your personal life. Really happy to help you with belief repatterning. It's been a super delight being on the call with you, Christine. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Suze. It's been awesome. And I just want to let everyone know about the next web show next week. I am absolutely delighted that next Wednesday I'm going to be interviewing Troy White, who is a copywriting genius, and he is an expert writer. He's been mentioned on Forbes.com, and he has done work with lots of familiar names, John Assaraf, lots of speakers from The Secret. The top internet marketers on the planet actually hire this guy to do their writing for them. And Troy is going to talk to us about the storytelling formula. So to help prepare your video submission, we all need to tell a story. And so he's going to be giving us his tips and tools to tell the story that's going to captivate your audience. And
if I can just reinforce on that,
yes.
Christine, you know, absolutely. I know that what pushed the bar for me was having the story and being able to tell it. We all tell stories that are supportive of you. And if you find yourself telling a story that's non-supportive of you, that's when you want to release that belief. So I'm going to be excited to hear what Troy has to say. And making sure that you have that story that really says what it is that you're about and isn't just a cute story but has meaning behind it. So I think it's going to be a fabulous web show and would encourage everybody to sign in. The price is certainly right.
It's so free.
Thank you very much, Christine. And
thank you so much, Suze. I just want to say I learned so much and I'm so inspired. I think the big thing is to be vulnerable in being ourselves and to find that uniqueness in each of us.
Absolutely. And thank you to everyone who joined us today. It was lovely sharing your lunch with you or a bit of your afternoon. And for those listening later on, look forward to hearing from you and do please contact both Christine and myself. I'm at www.beliefrepatterning.com and Christine, people can find you at
LetYourLightShineOnline.com.
Perfect.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Have a super day.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.